Devei Torah, that relevant to this week's parasha, concerning the power of prayer. The ideas I'm sure you've explored in Sharon the Tila with Tali, but I'm going to expand it a bit perhaps and things that you maybe didn't get a chance to see. Rabbeinu Bachaye, there are two Rabbeinu Bachaye, so Yonah is working on one of them. Chavos Levavos, a very early Rishonim before the Rambam, Rabbeinu Bachi, even Pakuda. But the Rabbeinu Bachaye here is grand student of the Ramban, the student of the Rashba, Rabbeinu Bachaye ben Asher. They both lived in Spain. The first one lived in Arab Spain, the second one lived in Christian Spain. So he writes a commentary on Chumash, which perhaps you haven't gotten a chance to see so much, but it's really a very nice commentary. Very eclectic at a lot of different angles, pshat, rash, kabbalah, philosophy. Very nice. Occasionally to take a look at the Rabbeinu Bachaye. He has a lot of quotes from the Ramban. Usually when you read it in Rabbeinu Bachaye, they're easier to understand than the original Ramban. So it's nice to know that sefer, Rabbeinu Bachaye. First in my own life, I only discovered it maybe 20 years ago. Well, where did this come from? 20 years ago in your lives. Well, you weren't even born yet. Okay, so, alright. In any case, getting back to Rabbeinu Bachaye. He asks us a simple question that the Torah describing the prayers that were offered by Yitzchak, and as Rashi points out, by Rivka as well, for their state of not having children, so that the psukim seem to be somewhat backwards. Because in Pasuk Chaf Aleph it says Vayetar Yitzchak L'Hashem Anochach Ishto Ki Akarohi, that Hashem prayed to Hashem opposite his wife. Chazal understand, Rashi quotes that opposite his wife meaning not just for his wife or in her presence, but with Rivka davening as well in the opposite corner, because she was barren. So we have here a cause and we have an effect. Because she was barren, so it sounds like that Rivka didn't have children. Yitzchak was not having children. And therefore, he davened. So, wouldn't it make more sense to say, once upon a time, there were people called Yitzchak and Rivka, and they didn't have children? Vatehi Rivka kara. Vayetar Yitzchak l'shem. Menachah v'shto. First state the cause of why the prayer was happening, and then state the effect. Right? I was hungry, so I had dinner. That's a very logical way to put it. I had dinner tonight because I was hungry. It makes sense, but logically, you first want to state the first part that was generated it, and the second one come later. So it seems to be backwards. Yitzchak davened. By the way, you want to know why? Here's the reason. But the whole reason he was davening was because there was a need. So why is the davening mentioned before the, if we can invent the word, before the barrenness? Not the barrenness, you know, the princess, whatever. So it seems pretty backwards. So the tefillah comes first and then the need. So if I'm not mistaken, you've all studied in Rav Pinkus' writings earlier on, and the Shaar Mitzvah addresses this topic, with or without quoting the Rabbeinu Bachaye, but addresses this theme. And Rabbeinu Bachaye writes that it's written exactly the way it should be written. Because the cause of the tefillah was not the state of not having children. The state of not having children was caused by the divine desire for tefillah. Let's digest that a bit. Mm-hmm. Here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a Ribbono Shel Olam, and he created people in the world, and among those people, there were very special children of his. He had a beloved son called Yitzchak and a beloved son called Rivka. Beloved daughter called Rivka. People are very confused about gender these days. We have to be very careful how we speak. Okay. So he had a beloved son called Yitzchak and a beloved daughter called Rivka. And he loved them so much that he wanted to hear their voice. As I sometimes teach my students, it's a delicate word, so it has to be taken in the right way, that the foundation of kol beisha erva, the fact that a male outside of his own wife and children is now allowed to hear the voice normally speaking of a woman singing, is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. What does it say in Shir HaShirim? Hashmi'ini es kolech ki kolech orev. That the male paradigm, if you will, which in Shir HaShirim is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says to the beloved woman whom we love so much, let me hear your voice, because your voice is very pleasant. So from that, Chazal derived that kol beisha erva. So at first glance, it sounds like that a woman's voice is unseemly. But it's exactly the opposite. The pasuk is saying that the woman's voice is very beautiful. So that's why when used inappropriately, when a male is getting inappropriate pleasure from that, so that's a sur. But the thrust is that a woman's voice is beautiful and that it's something to be enjoyed in the right context. So Chazal say on that, what's the nimshal? Hashem Yisbarach is telling his beloved bride, Klal Yisrael, or more generally, mankind, Hashmini is karlich. I want to hear your voice. Shwaki song. May you feel pain and may you rejoice. Hashem wants to hear your voice. Again, Hashem is all perfect. He doesn't have needs. But kiviyachol, so to speak, the way he created the world is that he desires, right? Rashi uses very strong terminology. He's mis'avel et tfilosna shel tzaddikim. He desires the tfil of tzaddikim. So therefore, Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that here's the story. Once upon a time, there was a Rabbanu Shalom. I'm writing it. I'm saying it my own way. And he wanted to hear their voice. But they weren't davening. Or, the way Rav Pinkas puts it, they weren't connecting them as intensely as could be. So he created a need. And that need, in this case, was akrut, was barrenness. And then Yitzchak and Rivka poured out their hearts before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way Rav Pinkas puts it, even though they were great tzaddikim, more than they ever did before. Even though Yitzchak was such a high madrega, he's the Amura Avoda, right, the one who went to the Akedah, but still, need does all kinds of funny things to people. And feeling of desperation and connection to anyone who can help you. And ultimately, these great tzaddikim knew that there's one address for the help, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's exactly the way it should be. Hashem wanted tefillah. V'yeta Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto. Oh, by the way, you know why that was happening? Because of the barrenness. That's really secondary. The primary is the desire for prayer and the human being reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The secondary is the specific thing. So meaning, and it's a very powerful point that sometimes helps one manage in the ups and downs of life. The Rishonim already asked the Sefer Karim and others, what is prayer all about? If Hashem wants to give it to us, so He should give it to us without prayer. And if He doesn't want to give it to us because we don't deserve it, it's not good for us, but just because we cry and quetch a little bit, as it says in the Marvelous Meters Machine, you know, I'm talking about the toy store or whatever, okay? Maybe Chayne Imago, I'm not sure. Anybody know Marvelous Meters Machine?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, just cry and quetch a little bit, and Tati will always give in. Okay, so just because we cry and quetch, we get it? So it's really a twofold question. If we're supposed to get it, why do we need to pray? If we're not supposed to get it, how does prayer help? So I don't want to address the second half, but addressing the first half, here's one answer. Hashem wants to give it to us, but He wants to give it to us through the portal of prayer, that we connect to Him in a very, very intense way. As the Heilige Rav Nachum in Breslov pointed out, many people get things in the world without prayer, but then there's no connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, for His beloved, wants them to first engage in Hashmini as Kolech, and then we're able to give. Again, it's a little tacky, but you know, sometimes parents say please. So sometimes it's just, you know, to train them and train children in manners, but sometimes it's, I want to connect to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I just don't want to give. You know, that's why, you know, parents will get children excited about a gift before they give it. You know, as you'll read in Parenting 101, if you haven't already observed from your own parents, you don't just give things to kids without a build-up, otherwise they don't appreciate it. You create a build-up to get excited about it as a relationship, and then... So this idea of creating need, of course, we see with the Imahos and the Avos, time and time again. And Rabbeinu Bachaya writes that because of the based on the Medrash, that all the Imahos and the Avos were barren, except for Leah. So now the Malbim adds on. Concerning Leah in next week's parasha, Parashas Vayetze, and Rachel, it says that Hashem opened the womb of Leah. Hashem saw that Leah was hated. Farshim explained that she was not loved as much as she should be. And there was, if you will, a defect in the intensity of the bond between Yaakov and Leah. So he opened her womb and gave her children. For Rachel Akara, Rachel was barren. What's wrong with that pasuk? The normal way of the world is that women have children. It's the exception to the rule that they don't. So it should have said, Leah had children. Vahashem Sagar et Rechem Rachel. Because that was the abnormality. You with me? It says he opened the womb of Leah. Rachel was barren. Is it as normal? So says the Malbim. Right. For the Imahos, for the great Tzidkaniyos, that's the route that Hashem wanted for them, so that the children should only come through the portal of connection to the Infinite One. But Nebuch, Leah was not zochet to that madrega, because there was some other side reason that we needed to patch up this marriage between Yaakov and Leah. So he didn't go that route. But then it's fascinating. Malm, I think, also points this out. Each one was supposed to have three children, right? All the four wives of Yaakov, as you've learned. Three, right? Just the famous that Leah prayed, that Rachel, that the boy should change the girl, the girl should change the boy, so at least Rachel will have two, right? What happens after Leah takes the lion's share of children? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, four. She already had more than her fair share. Afterward, correct. What happens after the fourth? Vatamud miledes. She stopped having children. And then, following Rachel's model, she gave Zilpah as another wife. And then, you know, from that came, God and Asher, I think. Why did Hashem stop her from having children? She was on a roll. She was going to have two more. Because Hashem wanted Leah also to have this wonderful idea of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch in this intense way. Sounds very unusual. With the state of being barren and being desperate and turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he short-circuited that process because he wanted to repair the relationship between herself and Yaakov Avinu. But then she went back to that model after the four children. Ratamo miledes. And only through prayer was she zocha to Yisachar and Zvon. And of course, more than any other aim, right? This is the avoda of Mama Rachel, right? She's mamish desperate. And she's turning. Help, help. Yaakov Avinu, great tzaddik, help me. And he's not helping her. Asachas elakim anochi, am I instead of God? And I'm giving you a pshat that I once heard. It's a little more modern, but I think it's correct. She turns to Leah and says, give me those dudaim. Why does she want the dudaim? So many of the mefarshim explain that there was some kind of like fertility drug. In other words, she's running to the doctors, right? First she runs to the tzaddik, she runs to the doctors. Who's going to help me? Then she finally realizes there's a Ribbono Shel in the world. There's someone who could always answer prayer. And even though it doesn't directly say that Rachel prayed, but it says in the Torah that Hashem heard Rachel's voice. So what does that mean? That Rachel finally, in desperation, prays to HaKadosh Baruch. So Rachel, of all other people, of all the Avos Nimos, Mama Rachel cried for us again. She becomes this enormous paradigm of that idea, perhaps more so than any one of the Avos Nimos, but it took her a while to get there. And that's the modern pshat of the word, but I think it's fairly obvious in the psukim. To recognize need, not as chalila, a situation where Hashem wants to create distance between us, between himself and his creation, but sometimes the exact opposite, that he wants connection. I remember hearing from my Rebbe, we'll end with this, oh, the time is late. Can I jam in one more minute? It's too late. Yeah. Tell me the truth. Yeah, one more minute. Okay, so very quickly, that's the curse of the snake, that's why Hashem gets the snake to eat dirt, even though it seems to be the greatest of brachos. I'm not working on a Torah Matapshada about how snakes eat dirt. That doesn't seem to match the reality, but The klala is the snake's eater. Isn't that gavaldik? You don't have to hunt anymore. So Galdo explained, notice the greatest of curses, because that means Hashem doesn't want a relationship with the snake. Here's the money, leave me alone. And he gave a mashal that if a father doesn't like a son, so I'll write him $1 million check, he's still the father. Don't bother me. And the son he likes, he'll put him on an allowance, because he always wants him to come back. And it's also Yisod of the famous Vav. What's the famous Vav? That the bracha that Yitzchak gives to what he thought, whom he thought was Esav, but turned out to be Yaakov, is Vi Yiten Lecha. You don't start a sentence with and, as they teach you in grammar school. People don't like grammar. Okay, but so Rashi says, what's the Vav? Yiten, the Yavs are Yiten. He'll give, and he'll give more. So my Rebbe of Goldberg said, why doesn't it just say Yiten Harve? Why does he say he'll give, and he'll give more? Vi Yiten. He says, because that's what Hashem wants for his beloved. He gives a little bit, and then it dries up, and then he wants us to daven, and he'll give more. Then it dries up, and he wants to give more. Right? Not just that he gives all at once. So again, as we B'zrat Hashem have wonderful lives with tremendous divine bracha, but we should all realize that tefillah is very, very powerful, and that sometimes Hashem withholds that which he really wants to give us, because he's waiting, Vashmini Eskolech, Kikolech,